So this morning, Mike, would you come up, please, as well? I want to introduce you to Mike and Betty Fry. I could talk about their bio and then the service would be over because they have been serving Jesus in just whatever way they can. They've just kept on saying yes to whatever for years and years and years and years and years. And I won't keep saying years. That's not nice. Many, many, many years. Over the years, Arlita, my wife, and I have gotten to meet them at different conferences, and they've just been so generous to us with their hearts, praying for us, praying for our teams, just loving us in some really special places. And what I said, Betty and I were talking about just women in ministry and what it looks like to be a woman in ministry. I said, well, why don't you come then? She said, well, I don't want to do a women's conference. I said, I don't want you to do a women's conference. I want you to preach. We don't have women to just do women's conferences. We value women because of how God's gifted them. He's gifted them. We value people the way God's made them. And we love the way that the both of you have served together. I'm separating you. I don't like that so much here. Go ahead. Can we pray for them this morning? Would you just extend your hands before Betty preaches this morning? God, we thank you so much for Mike and Betty. We thank you, Lord, for their faithfulness in ministry. Thank you for their generosity to us already. I pray, Lord, that the words that they speak today and the training this afternoon and Betty this morning would just be life to us, Lord, not from them, not out of their righteousness or experience, but by your spirit and your power, Lord, and for your glory. We bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, thank you. This is Texas. That's also because it's Texas. But I'm wearing a dress because I wanted to be reminded of this wedding that I just went to. It was my granddaughter's wedding. And it was interesting because she's really a creative person. She's a biologist. She's a teacher now. My grandchildren are teachers. This is scary, you know? They're growing up. Yeah, we have 17 grandchildren and 5 children. So we've multiplied, you know? We're our own church. We kind of created our own atmosphere here. But okay, so this wedding. So it was interesting because she wanted her, one of the things she really wanted at this wedding was for everyone to have fun, everyone to be a participant in what was going on. So the whole wedding, I mean, like it took place outside where the butterflies burst and we were in a state park and then we came inside. But this was the clever thing she did. So at one point she had everybody, she said, we're going to take a picture. We'd eaten dinner, we were all there, and there was and we're going to take a picture of everybody in the hole that's come to the wedding. And so, of course, the only space that was left was the dance floor. So I said, just, you know, come up here, and we're just going to take a picture of everybody. So she takes a picture, and lo and behold, the music starts. Right there, everybody's on the dance floor. Nobody can leave, you know. It was great. That was what she wanted. And people are looking around, they're starting to move, and you know, old and young, and it was just great. And I kind of feel that it was symbolic. It was a picture of what God does when he calls us to his wedding, right? I mean, he's married us. I mean, there's all these illustrations. We're his children, he's married us, you know, all of it, you know. But the reality is that he's called us to this wedding feast. And in this wedding feast, he doesn't want us to be sitting at the table looking at everybody else dancing. He wants us to dance. He wants us to be participants in what's going on, right? Yeah. And actually, we want to. I mean, think about that. There's a part of us that has to be almost tricked into dancing, right? Because who wants to be the first one up there? And after the bride and the groom, you know, I like you back there. Yeah. And of course, I think my favorite thing is I just want to be able to dance at all my grandchildren's wedding. Of course, now I'm thinking maybe I'm going to dance at my great-grandchildren's wedding. It's getting, you know, time is going on, you know. So anyway, that's how we started. And I was praying about what I wanted to talk about in this here. And this is what I want to talk about is I want to talk about your journey. I believe that God has, once he meets you, and he's called you his child, right? I mean, we read that, we're children of God, and we kind of like pass over it. Do you guys realize that you are children of the King of the Universe? I mean, the King of the Universe. Talk about Star Wars. We just saw Star Wars, you know? There's this fight of the good against the evil, and you know, we'd all like to be Jedis. We're more than Jedis. We are children of the King, right? But it's such a nebulous thing. You don't exactly know, you know, well, what does that mean? What does that mean to me? Well, just, you know, for all of you who have children, you'll kind of get this, you have a flavor of what God feels. Because when you have a child, and I did have a lot of children, you know, there it was. So, but you have this child, and, you know, you don't know that you're going to love this child until it really arrives, you know? And then it arrives, and the strangest thing happens. You feed it, you lose your sleep over it, your money all goes away, your energy's all gone, you lose your figure, you know, and you're so happy because you just want this child to prosper and live and flower, and you do anything for it, you know? And I always say that was God's tricking us into joy, you know, right? And then you have these children, at the end of it, they're this amazing joy to us. So I feel like if we could just conceive that God really feels that way about us, he's looking at us with such extraordinary love. He wants to feed us. He wants to love us. He wants to help us. He wants us to be all that he intended for us to be. And, you know, there's this strange psalm in the Old Testament where it says that, you know, that we were formed before the foundation. He knew us before the foundation of the earth. And we were formed in our mother's womb. Well, what does that mean? I mean, when you think about that, that's an extraordinary thing that God, he knew each one of you before the foundation of the earth. And he formed you in your mother's womb. So does he like you? He loves you. He loves you. He has had his eye on you for a long time. And I think he's called you to have this extraordinary adventure with him. And he's given you a kingdom. Okay, so you think you're children of the king, and you look, you kind of look at your spaces around you. This is your kingdom. So everybody has a kingdom. Everybody in this room has a kingdom. These are people that God's entrusted to your heart to love them, to touch them, to minister to them, to hear from God for them, whatever. I'm not talking about anything other than the absolute, your job is to love them as Christ loved us. And that's a really easy thing to do. We're gonna talk a little bit more. It's sort of easy and sort of not easy because there's all these, because sometimes we don't like them, you know, and right? So there's parts of that. God helps with that process. So as we go on this adventure that God began, I want to tell you a little bit about my adventure and how I was formed and why I feel like that's part of this story. So I actually was raised in a family where my mom was Catholic and my dad was a wonderful, good man, but he was an atheist, okay? And he was a scientist. And so I remember as a little girl, my mom took me to church, and I remember as a little girl going and taking communion. And before I took communion, I thought, I really felt I was gonna meet God. Because you know, when they give you your first communion, you take the bread of life, right? You take the bread into you, and I thought God was gonna come into me. And you know what? I think he did, you know? But what happened was, as my life went on, and I didn't really know much about the Bible, and I went to college, I went to UCLA, and I was kind of like this, you know, I was really interested in intellectual things. I actually became an atheist, and I honestly did not believe in God. Not an atheist because I was like, okay, evil or something like that. I just didn't believe in God. I didn't think it was true. And then I had three children, and at some point I said, you know, my kids were asking me about things like the grass and who makes the trees and, you know, who created this thing? You know, and I'm like, well, I didn't believe God did it. I just was happenstance. I'd studied all about geology and, you know, the traditional things that you study. But I, in my head, it was this thing, I think maybe I need to investigate this just a little bit more. So I stood on a hill. I actually stood on a hill, you know, and I said, God, if you're there, I don't believe in you, but if you're there, I figure you could let me know that you are real, you know. So anyway, in the process of that, it was 4 years of God journeying me around to find him. Different, just the oddest contacts. I could not have been in a traditional form or way. I didn't go to a church or anything else at that point. I asked everybody about God. And anyway, the long and the short of it was I finally decided it was true. And it was a fun, kind of exciting journey on the way. And I wish I could tell you all the details because they're fun to me anyway. But anyway, we ended up praying our first prayer. We were still praying in case there's a God, even though we've met God, you know, just in case you're there, you know. So we were praying about moving to Fresno. Well, it was in Fresno that God set us and planted us and put us in our first little church. And do you know what was extraordinary to me about this first church? Okay, I had 4 children. The 5th one hadn't been born yet. But I walked into this church and this magical thing happened. They took my children. I was like, really? We do this? You know, you actually take the children. And I had a whole hour, you know, when I could actually think of something besides children, you know. So if you're a mom, you know, you get that, right? And if you're a dad, too, because now the dads are so equally involved. I love that. But anyway, so here I am, and I started hearing about Jesus, and it was extraordinary, you know, and I was like, oh, the next thing I knew, even though I wasn't sure that I really believed, I wanted to tell everybody else about Jesus, right? But nobody that I knew was interested in going to a Bible study, because basically, for whatever reason, God had circled me around with all sorts of people that were actually also atheists or agnostics. And I thought, well, how am I going to tell them I can't invite them to a Bible study? So being a history major, you know, UCL, I thought, well, the Bible, which I was falling in love with Jesus in the Bible is really the foundation of Western civilization, isn't it? So I said, have you ever studied the primary writings of Western civilization? So I started a book club, you know what I mean? But this is the secret. I had discovered that if you took care of the children, people would come. So I had a babysitter. I actually hired a babysitter. I think it was one of my children, probably my older one, you know. But I don't know. That's scary, sort of scary. And I put them into the other room and with, you know, multitudes of Legos and everything else, shut the door, and I made scones and coffee. And for an hour, we talked, and they all met Jesus. Well, pretty soon, we had, and then Mike would come in, and the women said, well, what about us? You know, what about our husbands? And the husbands wanted to come. So pretty soon, he started doing a little more traditional Bible study with them. I don't know what you did, but it was good, you know, because the men all met Jesus, right? Because we all have our different way. So I thought everybody was an atheist or an agnostic because that was my trajectory. That's what I've been brought up to do. God had formed me in the womb. He gave me this mother. He gave me this father. He gave me other issues, you know, too, which those came along later. But you know, you discover your issues when you meet Jesus. So then what happened was I thought everybody believed, like was an agnostic. So I tried to, you know, outside of my framework of my kingdom, I was telling other people, you know, didn't they want to know what the rationale for believing in Jesus was? And they really weren't interested. They were interested in maybe they had some problem and maybe God could help them. And that was, I felt it was foreign to me. But then I discovered there was this other person over here who'd had that problem, and they would tell that person about Jesus. And then, oh my gosh, that person would know Jesus. And so I finally realized this was my kingdom. My kingdom was this thing of discovering that why would you believe in God, you know? That was me. And I didn't realize it, but I kind of owned it. I got to do it. Nobody told me what to do. And that's one of the things I want to encourage you is that every person in here has a story. Every person in here has been on a journey, and they've been formed and created by God for exactly what they're supposed to be about, you know? And I think sometimes we come to church and we step away from all of that and we we almost disdain that other part of our life. What I want to encourage you is to say, God, what was in that that I bring into the kingdom? Why did I experience these things? And I think there's a lot of verses about walking with God. And sometimes when we think about an adventure, we think, you know, most adventures are scary, right? And, you know, and we love to read an adventure story in a book because it's not quite as scary as it is experiencing an adventure. But if we are actually going to do the work of the kingdom, we're going to be fighting against evil, right? And we know that Jesus has come to bring the kingdom of God, to bring light, to bring truth. But there are forces against us, you know. So why would we be surprised if things didn't all go perfectly, right? So we have this interesting thing where we encounter Jesus, and it's so wonderful. And then as we start going along the journey of it, we'll get distracted, and we'll get afraid, and we'll get sidetracked, and we don't think we belong. And guess what? Where does that all come from? Where does it come from? It comes from the enemy of our soul. But we have Jesus. So now you're on your journey. And I actually was going to put on some scriptures up here, but since we couldn't quite get it, it's good. I hope you don't mind if I'll kind of just share them with you a little bit. Some of you know about them and you're familiar with them. But one of the first ones that I just want to read this to you, because it says, first of all, let me make sure I'm doing the right one here, 25. Okay, this is in John 14, 25. He's been telling them all these things about what's going to happen and how much he loves them. And he says, all this I've spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he's going to teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and don't be afraid. So the next part of our journey is that Mike was diagnosed with cancer. Now by this time I had 5 children, stage 3. And stage 3 was not good. That's like metastasized. And he was going to Stanford, actually. This is, you know, having things checked up. And we got that diagnosis. And I was like, oh, shoot. Jesus, I have 5 children. What am I going to do? You know what I mean? Where do we go from this? This is not a good thing. And I'm going to make a shortened part of that because that's just a part of our story. But in the story of that, Mike, God actually heals Mike, all right? And but we sought healing in that process. And in this particular case, he didn't have any chemotherapy or radiation. It was, we know that this was actually a healing. This was well, and that was because the doctor said, we don't want to do anything to you because you look so healthy. But they'd done this huge surgery, and they continued to do x-rays and things like that, which, you know, over the period of time, because he was the guinea pig, which we didn't know that guinea pigs were kind of sometimes not a good idea, you know, but anyway, what happened was, in that trajectory and him getting sick and the business, we all of a sudden started finding ourselves praying for people who were sick all the time, you know, which we wouldn't have done, right? It was so scary to have your husband diagnosed with stage 3 cancer and then to live it out, but then out of the fruit of that trouble became the time that we got to pray for other people. And that became, so we were interested in that. And that was actually at the time we got involved in the Vineyard. And we loved the Vineyard model of prayer because we knew that some people didn't get well and some people did get well. And John just said, hey, the thing is, you just pray for people. And you don't, you know, you leave that up to him. And I would venture to say that many of you have experienced tragedy and sickness, death, and life. And you've seen some people touched and healed, and you've seen some people that walked through this life and they died. And guess what the funny thing is? That's supposed to be the ultimate goal, to die. You know what I mean? We're working on that, Mike and I, you know? We're getting there. But it's interesting because you do forget that. But while we're here, we want to live. So I want to encourage you. There's this psalm, and everybody's so familiar with Psalms 23, right? Are you? But Psalms 23, when I started thinking about this church, it kept coming back to me. And I want to actually, there's a part of it that's super important to this, because this is your journey. If I can find it. Okay. 23. Okay. When I look at this, this really demonstrates for me this journey that we're on as we walk with God. Okay, the things that we're made for, the things that where He's going to be with us. And let me just read it to you. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Then it says this thing, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now, most people read this when people die, right? I mean, Psalms 23 is like, that's the one. Everybody reads that. I think it's all about life. And as we've walked through all sorts of different situations, I realize when we're on that adventure to do what God's doing for us, there's this shadow that comes in and says, you can't do this. You're not qualified to do this. You're stupid. You're whatever, you know. Or this other person can do it. Or I don't want to. Or you're just picking afraid. You know what I mean? You are afraid. And that is the valley of the shadow of death. It's a shadow. But who's with you? God is with you. He is with you to stay with you through this. So, you know, here we are. You guys are planting this church in this beautiful community, and God's given you the Children's Museum to be in. Is that not extraordinary? I mean, don't you love this building? And I was thinking, I don't know if any of you have become docents, but that'd be a cool thing to do, to integrate to the, you know, part of the community. This is they have docents in the children's, I don't know. But wouldn't that be fun? Because this has also now become your kingdom, right? Not just around here, but actually this building, this place, this community, the person that's out there at the front desk, she's part of your community, isn't she? She's part of your kingdom. And so this is like a joint kingdom, but it's all of yours. So what I want you to do, instead of being afraid, instead of saying, I can't do something, or, you know, someone else can do that better than I can, God has given you gifts, right? He says that. He doesn't leave you alone. He gives you the Comforter to teach you all things, the Holy Spirit. He's given you gifts to do the work of the kingdom. So you are not alone, and you're children of God. It's just the most amazing. It's truly the most amazing thing in the world, that we are children of God, and he hasn't left us alone. He's teaching us. He's communicating with us, and he's giving us gifts. He knows we're going to be afraid. He knows we need him, right? And there's this, what time is it? I'm doing okay. So there's this wonderful part, I don't know, in the Gospels where it talks about Jesus feeding the 5,000, okay? And I don't know if you've ever noticed this thing, but when Jesus feeds the 5,000, he takes the fish and the loaves and he divides it, you know? And then everybody's all excited. He leaves to get, you know, kind of get away from everybody. And then that's when he goes in the boat, goes to the other side, and they can't find him. And so they all traipse around the lake, or get there somehow on a boat. And they find him, and he says to them, you don't want, they said, we want another miracle. They said, oh, let's see the miracles. And he says, no, you want the bread. And I've been reading this, and it's been fascinating to me. You want the bread. He says, what you really want is me. You're looking for me. He says, I'm the bread of life. Now, do you realize what happened to the bread that they were given at the miracle of 5,000? It multiplied, didn't it? So Jesus now is the bread of life. He wants to give us his bread. And guess what? We'll multiply. You know, that's what's going to happen with that bread. And isn't it interesting that all through Christian history, there is this communion which we are to do, the bread keeps coming in. What is that about? It's about taking Jesus in. So we need the bread of Jesus for our walk, for our journey. And I don't know about you, but I'm one of these people that if I don't eat somewhat frequently, I get really, I call it hangry, you know, you know, and I get depressed and I get, you know, so it's the same thing. There's this physical aspect of this bread of life that we need that also is reflected in our life with Jesus, in our walk with Jesus. So we need him to replenish us. We need his spirit to replenish us. And I don't know how you get that. I just know that he's right there. And so we can access him at any time. He's not ever away. He's with us. So the thing is, we forget to access him, right? Because we're busy with our work and stuff like that. Sometimes I think maybe we should have on their iPhone a little thing like every 15 minutes, ding, and then Jesus, that's right. You know, in the middle of work, you know. I don't know what it is that you will get to remind you of that. But when you are feeling depressed or angry or fearful or anything else, I guess your best dose is a little bit of Jesus, you know? What's going on, Jesus? Show me. Give me your hand. Give me your help. I need that. I need that for this adventure that I'm going on, for this kingdom that you've given me to rule and reign, whether it's my family, my community, my neighborhood. I mean, your neighborhood is your kingdom, right? Wherever you move, I don't care who you move next to and how difficult the situation is, where you are is where it is right now. It's not someplace out there. It's not, and so you practice interacting with Jesus. What is this about, Jesus? How do I do this? Where do I go? What does this mean? And when you do, guess what? The more he is with you, the more you like see what God is doing. You see the power and the miracle of God. So I want to share, just let's see, what time is it? This is that lovely little clock. Okay, I'm doing okay. So, and I don't know why exactly I want to share this particular thing, but I do. And it's part of my journey. So I had this very cerebral journey with God. Mike was always, as we entered the vineyard, he was always falling down, shaking, doing other things that were powerful things, and people were being healed. But I thought, well, my portion is just, I'm this rational person. But there was a part of me, I wanted to also experience those feelings. And I thought, maybe I'm just not made for that. That's what I thought for most of the time. I'm good at this, I'll do this. But I thought, there's something I've missed. There's some intimacy and level that I've missed. So I asked God, I said, God, I want to feel those things. I want to experience the presence and the power of God like other people. Could I do that? And at that time, there was a thing going on in Toronto, and people were all having experiences, and I thought, I could. By this time, we'd planted a church, planted another church, and then, by the way, it was later on, we were kind of tricked into planting another church in Morro Bay, I say that was God's way of just making our life so extraordinarily pleasurable. It was wonderful. We love. I wish I could tell you about that, but anyway. But this was right, it was before that, and we were pastoring a church, but I sort of I'm a little bit of a private person, so I didn't feel like I could let down when other people were around me. That's my personality. Guess what? That's who I am. That's who God made me to be. So anyway, the first thing I did, I had these frequent flyer miles, and I thought, well, I want to go to Toronto, and I'm going to just go there and see all by myself if God will touch me. And so I get on the phone with this person, and this person, I said, I don't have enough frequent flyer miles, but I really want to go here. And she kept saying to me, you've got enough, you can go to Toronto. Finally, she says to me, and I kept saying, no, I need to pay some extra money for it. She finally says, lady, do you want to go to Toronto? And I said, well, yes. So it was kind of a commitment. God really pulled that out of me. So anyway, I get ready to get on the plane, and it was interesting. I saw this person. Now, there's not very many people in my life that I don't like. But this person, and a religious person, and it was a person who had affected my children in a very controlling religious manner, a youth group leader person. And so, lo and behold, I'm on my way to Toronto all by myself to experience God, and she is getting on the plane. And I was really mad at God. You know what I mean? God, I don't ask you for a lot of things, but I just really wanted to have an emotional experience by myself. And, you know, and I didn't, why are you doing this? You're messing. And because I feel everybody, you know, so I feel responsible for people. So anyway, so I get there, and thankfully there's like 3,000 or 5,000 people in this building. It was a huge building. And I could stand in the back of the building, and I had a cup of coffee, and I was observing, thought I'd first observe, you know. But I promised God that if I felt anything, like even a little tingle or anything, I was going to go with it. I wasn't going to analyze whether I'm feeling something or maybe not, or maybe that's God, or, you know what I mean, that's which is my personality. And I said, God, I'm just going to let it go. So I get there, and the worship is going, and everybody's quite loud, and there's lots of things going on, and this young man from Quebec who's French, he says, I want to pray for you, but not in English, you know, and I'm like, well, okay. He says, give me your hand. He takes the cup of coffee, and he gives it to somebody next to me. So he puts his finger in my hand, and he starts to pray, and I'm like, so I'm feeling a little tiny quivering, and I thought, okay, I just promised I'd let it go. So pretty soon my arm is going, and then pretty soon my whole body's going. Pretty soon I'm on the floor, pounding. Thankfully, there's worship going on, and I'm thinking, my mind isn't like rational, but you know that scripture where it says they were drunk with wine, you know, or, you know, like it appeared that they were drunk in Acts, you know, and I'm thinking, that's it, that's what's wrong with me, I'm drunk, you know, in the spirit, you know, so I'm pounding on the floor, and I could have cared less about anybody or anything. So anyway, but that's not the best part of the story. There's this beautiful part of the story. So I kind of crawl over to the wall, and the speaker is now speaking. The worship started. I'm just kind of there, just completely out of it. And so I look all of a sudden, and I see this girl, and she's very prim and proper, and she's got her legs crossed, and oh, the most extraordinary thing happened to me. I loved her. I was filled with such love for her. It's as though God showed me she'd grown up in an extraordinarily defined religious background. And you know what he showed me? All she wanted was to know that God loved her. All she wanted was to experience God, because she grew up in a situation where that was the sign that God was with you. I didn't grow up in that. But she grew up in that, and I was filled with such love. And I just like said, God, just give her something. The speaker, no kidding, the speaker stops what he's preaching. He turns around. I didn't say this out loud or anything. As I said, there's lots of people there. And looks at her and says, I have a word for you. Stand up. She stands up, and he gives her this word, and the Holy Spirit falls on her. So for 3 days, we crawled around on this floor. And we had this most amazing, and I knew that it was God, because if you talk about God being love, right, then the way I felt was so different. And when God talks about people forgiving people, you know, and you get so angry at people, getting God in to experience that love is sometimes past our ability. And we do truly need the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit to do that. We need that bread of life. We need the power of God. And that is real. That's a part of us. We're made, our emotions, things like that are all part of us. Now, is that something that I experience all the time? I don't know. But all I know is it loosened something in me. It created a sense that this was real, and that this, which was not logical, was God. And so I will never be the same, and I will always know that God has this extraordinary thing for me, as he has this extraordinary thing for you, where he wants you to not only have the knowledge of him, but have the experience of him, have the pleasure of his company, have the pleasure of his love, to feel loved, to love. And that is part of our journey and is important for our journey. So, Mike, I don't know, do we want to do anything here? I don't know. What I would love is I don't even know exactly how we go about doing this, but I feel that I would like you guys to just hold your hands out and just, you know, I have no expectation of anything, by the way, but I just want you to, I want to invite the Holy Spirit to come. And just Holy Spirit, come and visit this church that you have laid a foundation for, that you're in. And bring your power and bring your presence to every desire that's right in the hearts of all of these people. Because right now, these desires are what important. These are what God has you right now going through. Just touch those desires, bring your power, bring your presence, bring your words, and fill them. Fill them with your presence, Jesus. Every one of them, just fill them. And the things they don't know about right now, the things, the questions they have, Lord, just answer them before they even ask the questions. And Lord, just let them know that every one of them is formed and created and is your child, and that you have this adventure for them. And Lord, I just thank you. Can you help me? Come here. I'm calling my husband. I know we...
So I had a picture earlier.
Is this on?
So I had a picture earlier that I just want to share. And it's about this church and all of you. And what I saw was it was like here would be the center, and it was out and just went around and around and around like this. And it encompassed where you all live. And on this line, wherever you live, you're on that spot within this movement of what the Spirit of God is doing. You're there. And it was, you have the Spirit of God with you to meet with, talk with, encourage those who live around you. And it all came to one point, one place right here, and that was Jesus. And he says, bring all of you who are heavy laden and burdened and downtrodden, and those of you who seek my presence, who are hungry and thirsty, come and have food to eat and drink to drink. But it will come, it was a clear picture of each of you living where you live and touching with his presence, his love, and just giving that away. And so, Lord, would you do that? And I had prayed, you know, this morning that the Spirit of God would just have his way as relates to how precious you are to him. And that in just today, as you go home, in whatever you're doing with your children or whatever you're doing with friends, stop and just say, Holy Spirit, would you just come and, like what Betty said, you know, put a little app on there, give me a ring every 15 minutes or something. But it was like, I just speak an encouragement to you to step out of and risk. John Wimber used to say, the other word for faith is risk. And I would just encourage you to risk with your friends, with neighbors, with people around you, because I believe he will give you at the moment that you want to do something around them or say something to them or encourage them or help them in some manner, that all of a sudden he will give you something for them that would encourage them and help them. That's my call to stop, right? Okay. So anyway, that was the picture I had, and it's about you.
And also, wasn't there a word? What was that word about the darkness? There was a Remember what that was? Okay, what was it? Someone who's surrounded by darkness, which is who needs to know that God has made them the light. So, you know, that's what we've been talking about. So when you, there's going to be people to pray for you, and we'd love to do ministry. That's fun for us. But that's a word. We didn't know that word was going to come. So see, that's how God works. He gives, somebody gives a word, someone responds to it. And your job is not to do anything but say, okay, God, I'm willing to step out. I'm willing to go to Toronto. I'm willing to get healing. I think getting prayer, and I just kind of want to encourage you, sometimes it feels like, oh gosh, if I go for prayer, people will know I have needs. We all have needs, okay? We are so needy. I need everybody to pray for me, you know? And it's a great experience to be part of a body where you are loved. And do you know that when you pray for somebody, you love them even more? So that's the enemy always pushes this, like, don't do that. Oh, don't do that. You'll be exposed. You know what I mean? But do that, because that's where that relationship happens. That relationship with one another, the relationship with God grows. And he kind of tells us to do that, right? He gives us gifts. Okay. You want to...
So this is your time to receive. Would you stand with me?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
We'll have a team ready to give you communion this morning. The bread, a gluten-free cracker. the blood of Christ, some grape juice, and you're welcome to take one of those gluten-free crackers and dip it in the juice and take Jesus in this mysterious way. You're all welcome to come out. I would love for the ministry teams to come first and receive, and then the rest of you are welcome to come as well, that you come over to the corner here, and then the teams are right there. Would you just avail yourself of receiving prayer this morning from wherever you're coming from? Whatever church background you're coming from, whatever you're going through, let this table that Jesus has made for you be a place that you get to receive this morning. Receive from Jesus. He is for you. And I'm going to lead us in one more song as we all go through that. And then I'll close this with a benediction. And Betty, you can do whatever you want. You can tell me to do whatever.
No. And also, I don't know if the training is open to whoever wants to come.
To whoever.
Okay, so that's, you can ask him about that. We're going to do some training in ministry, kind of some fun, at his house, right? So come if you can. You know, we'd love to know you all a little bit better, actually.